and welcome to the Fiorella Files. I'm your hostess, Fiorella Nash, sometimes known by my nom de plume, Fiorella De Maria. I'm a writer of crime fiction and historical novels and an incorrigible bibliophile. It's wonderful to be making a programme on pretty much my favourite subject, books. On my show, I will be introducing you to books, classic and contemporary, that you must read, should enjoy reading, or should not touch with an 11-foot barge pole. Once a month, I will also be doing my special edition children's book show involving younger reviewers, talking about and sharing their favourite books. Well, we're still in lockdown, but I was having a little think with the children the other day about how our lives have changed during lockdown. And last week I asked if you could think of what your least favourite and most favourite aspect of lockdown was. And this week I have another question. What is the weirdest purchase you have made during lockdown, or in any way as a result of coronavirus? I'm asking this because I have finally given in and bought one of my children a pair of off-ice ice skates. I had no idea such a thing existed before lockdown, and to me they look like rollerblades, but they are in fact designed to be as like the genuine article as possible. So they're rolling around on glorified rollerblades, frankly, and it's supposed to feel as much like skidding about on the ice as you can without actually having access to an ice rink. And since it doesn't look like the ice rinks are going to be open anytime soon, I've given in and bought a pair of these things. And I'm just hoping she doesn't break her nose falling head over heels in the middle of an abandoned car park or something like that, because I can't help feeling that concrete has got to be much worse to fall on than ice, but apparently not. So that is my weird purchase of lockdown that I would never normally have considered opening my wallet to buy. What's yours? Let me know at fiorella@crusadechannel.com. I have a book to share with you today that, like off-ice skates, I would never have considered buying if I weren't a crime writer. And that is Forensics. That's right, a book called Forensics. Or to be more precise, Forensics, The Anatomy of Crime by Val McDermott. Now, it's probably fairly obvious what a book called Forensics is actually about. Funnily enough, it's about forensics. And before I say anything further, this is not a book for the squeamish or the hypersensitive. I learnt far more reading this book about the different kinds of insects and beetles and worms that feast upon a human corpse than I ever needed to know. In fact, I learnt an awful lot more about what happens to a human cadaver after death than I ever really needed to know. There is no great dignity in the process of decomposition, let's face it. In fact, there's no dignity in being the victim of a crime at any stage. But I picked this up because I am a crime writer. I am obviously very interested in how crimes are investigated. Now, my books are set in the 1940s, when forensics did exist, but obviously it wasn't nearly as sophisticated as it is now. And the book doesn't just look at the work of forensics experts in different areas, and it doesn't just cover, say, murder investigations. It also looks at experts who specialise in the aftermath of fires. Say, there's a whole art to raking through the ashes to try to find out how fires have started. But it also looks at the history of forensics and the development of this really quite extraordinary science from the earliest stages, where murder investigations were extremely difficult to conduct and in many cases didn't work at all. I'd always thought of forensics very much in terms of DNA, because that's what everyone always talks about, or they found the killer's DNA splattered all over the victim's bathroom or whatever. But of course, the science behind murder investigations goes back much further than that. And it was quite horrifying reading the book to realise how easily a person in ages past could be framed for a crime they did not commit in the absence of the sort of evidence that's needed today. But it was also quite a cautionary tale because it showed the way forensics could be manipulated, or simply how the evidence could be misread. How a very minor mistake, or an apparently minor mistake, by one specialist could cause terrible suffering to a completely innocent person. So the book isn't just praising forensics experts for these wonderful breakthroughs, for bringing people to justice and all the rest.